37.
Tonight, each and every show, we kick it around with my pal from Talk Radio News, the true insiders from D.C. and really beyond. Victoria Jones, one of my favorites, joins us. Victoria, the nuclear option on the table. Harry Reid, what's he saying? How many hours and what's going on with that?
He says 24, 36 hours, and that's it.
Now, wow.
He's been in talks with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, but they haven't been going very well. They've made progress, but they're not there yet. And he just announced in the middle of the day today, 24, 36 hours, that's it.
Oh, wow. Wow,
yeah,
that had to be the big news. Yeah.
Yeah, then he's going to go nuclear. He's got the votes. He said he's got 51 votes, and he'll change Senate rules with a simple majority 51 votes. It's never been done.
Wow, so what's your gut tell you on this?
I think he'll do it.
Wow.
I think he's so cross with the kinds of shenanigans that he feels that Republicans pulled in the last Congress, and they did, let's be honest, that he's going to do it. But, you know, you've got to watch out for reaping that whirlwind, because if you're going to be in the minority yourself, then you're going to lose an awful lot of power as the minority yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, as we watch the maneuverings on the Hill, it's, John Boehner was trying to take a little bit of the spotlight, too, and the House Republicans are talking about the fact that their debt limit bill is gaining some momentum ahead of the floor vote. Is that true?
Yes. This debt limit bill is gaining momentum for a couple of reasons. One reason is that the Conservative Club for Growth has said that they won't punish conservatives if they vote for it. Another reason is that House Speaker John Boehner has told a group of five influential conservative members, Paul Ryan, Steve Scalise, Tom Price, Jeb Hensarling, and Jim Jordan, that he would work towards a budget that balances in 10 years and also keep top-line spending down. And they gave their okay to go forward with this raising the debt limit thing. But some other conservatives have said, okay, we'll walk the plank too. We'll do this. But avowed there will be, quote, hell to pay, unquote, if leaders don't follow through on the agreement.
Wow. All right, so we got that quote emblazoned in my head now, and we'll see if there is hell to pay over that. Speaking of hell to pay, Jill Kelly, the Tampa socialite, looked like she was wreaking havoc, but not so with General Allen. I guess he's out of the woods, right?
He's out of the woods. I never thought there was any there. It sounded like this was just a question of racy emails that got out of control. And we heard that, you know, this Tampa socialite who sort of inflated her own importance. And we heard that there were 20,000 to 30,000 email messages between the two of them. Turns out there were a few hundred over multiple years.
Sorry, a little bit of a difference there. Hey, one other thing is just something that I was noticing that's starting to happen now. Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, well, of course, that's coming up. First of all, there's going to be a lot of buzz on this because once she starts to testify, I think that's all what the headlines are going to be coming out next time around when we speak, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Wednesday is the day for Clinton testifying on Benghazi. She's going to appear before a Senate committee and a House committee on the same day. She's going to answer some tough questions about the terror attack that killed four Americans on September the 11th. And, of course, her testimony was delayed by her illness. They're going to ask her about the Obama administration's changing explanations, whether that amounts to a cover-up, what she might have known about requests for security at Benghazi prior to the attack. The answer is nothing, I think, based on what the reviews have said. Also, whether the administration withheld documents or witnesses from Congress or investigators. Also about the lack of progress investigating the deaths of Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. They may also, and I think they will, ask her about Algeria and the recent siege, also about Mali, and they may start asking about Yemen, and I think some Democrats are going to ask about drones.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's going to be tough, absolutely. And this was the other one I was going to flip you. I was thinking of Clinton because she's stepping away after all that drama, and then we'll see what happens with Kerry. But people were talking about Clinton for 2016, and she was said no, or kind of poo-pooed it. She didn't necessarily say emphatic no, but she kind of stepped away from the question. Now Joe Biden says he's undecided on whether he's going to run. Is he really going to make a run?
You know, I always sort of say to myself, oh, he's not going to run. That's what I always say to myself. But when you've been that close to the sun, you've got to have the fire in you. But I don't think he could do it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He does want to touch the sun, though.
He does.
Victoria Jones, thanks so much. You know what they say in Washington, you don't want to get too close, you might get burned.
Yes.
So we'll talk to you again. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So a lot of things happening in Washington. This on the heels of the inauguration. And a lot of people have been waiting for Hillary Clinton to have to answer for some of what happened over there. And curious as to what she's going to say, because the state, of course, as Secretary of State, they're getting hammered on all of the facts and what actually happened and what they requested and all that kind of stuff, including that Ambassador Stevens had asked for a different compound, that they were very worried about being targeted and had asked for more security on two different occasions. So more than 4 months on the heels of that attack on that compound, Clinton, because as you heard Victoria say there, after recovering from the illness and all that other stuff, this testimony finally happens. You know, Benghazi, I don't know how many times it's been mentioned, but in the 4 months, it's crazy how often it's come up on the airwaves, because there's so many missing parts to this, I guess. The who, what, where, when, and why, we know a few of those, but the what specifics were requested and what didn't happen, I think she has to really fill in the blanks without a doubt. I mean, Victoria's right. That's what's going to happen here, you would hope, and that's what they're going to definitely hammer her about. And for Clinton, this is it for her. She's leaving the post. So, and she hands the baton off to whoever ultimately is approved, and it's probably Kerry. This then just goes away, like bring on the next wave. So she's getting ready after 4 years. She's going to arguably address what is the biggest controversy of the entire time she's held the post, because she really hasn't had to deal with that. Senator Bob Corker, really after her, Republican from Tennessee, says there's no question there hasn't been accountability within the department. So we want to know, let's see what we get here. Congress already has held multiple hearings on this whole thing, but it's the lower level people who have testified on the attack. So, you know, gradually they've backed off the position anyway, that the attack was spontaneous. And because this was so much fodder for talk radio, and not just, by the way, on the right, or however you want to classify or label some of the talk shows, I guess, that are out there, it's just been a conversation really across the board. So Wednesday, a very, very big day, a chance to question Clinton on what she might have known about those requests for security at the Benghazi post. You know, we assumed that we assumed that this is what was going on, but twice it happened. Twice they asked for more security. So we'll see if anybody gets chopped as a result of this. Boehner speaks next. What's he saying? Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Obviously, I have a horrific cold. I can't tell you the last time I had a cold like this. Unfortunately, colds are contagious, and I was around a relative who had a really bad cold, and that cold jumped on to me. I think some of you can relate to that. You know, probably what will happen in the Midwest is some people are going to find that same condition hitting them because of a big change in the weather. The coldest weather so far, at least this winter, starting 2013, has definitely been in the Midwest. Now, what we've seen in the Midwest is going to creep over to the northern part of the United States, according to the National Weather Service, sending the temperatures plunging. And in Chicago, they haven't had this kind of cold weather for a while in the Midwest as it moves through Chicago, because it's been plunging below zero there for the first time in 711 days. Woo! At the mothership in Minnesota, we talked to Matt last time about this. Matt, what's the temperature been like in Minnesota?
It's 3 degrees right now, and it's the warmest it's been in 48 hours.
Wow, 3 degrees. Can you get frostbite from that kind of stuff if you don't wear gloves and you're out?
Yeah, even I'm normally not one to wear a jacket or a hat or gloves, and for the last couple of days I've definitely been doing that, even just going to, like, from work to the car, like just a short little walk, I've been making sure to keep my gloves on. And I think last night was the coldest it's been during this whole stretch, and it was like, it was between like negative 10, negative 15, something like that. But the wind did die down today, which is good because it's colder. It was colder this morning than it was yesterday, but the wind wasn't as bad. So, because we had, I think I saw something where it was like negative 35 with the wind chill yesterday. So it's been crazy.
Oh, that is crazy. That is cold. And you got to watch it. At 30 below Fahrenheit, frostbite can happen in like 10 minutes with any kind of wind. I mean, in 5 minutes with a brisk breeze.
Yeah, and I was telling you before, I actually went out and bought a humidifier for my place because it's been so dry, and it's just your skin is just, it's scaly, it's nasty.
Ugh.
It's not a fun time. You got to keep some lotion and chapstick on you at all times.
Yeah, especially the chapstick. You forget that if you don't, you know, I'm like one where normally that wouldn't be a big deal, but you don't use that chapstick and it is awful. Your lips will be so cut up. Oh, awful. So they had snow in some places in the eastern shores of Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, pretty bad. 3 feet of snow in some places. They're talking about that. And we'll see what happens in the East Coast, but you look at a weather map, and certainly there is no doubt it's headed there. Cop tells me, by the way, because you can hear my voice, that I've got a terrible, terrible cold. He says, eat an onion or garlic, take 2 aspirins, and that's it. In fact, he says, call me in the morning. Are you kidding? Eat an onion. I love onion, but am I going to eat an onion like an apple? I don't think that's going to work for me. And then pop a couple of aspirins? Uh-uh. How much onion do I have to eat? If it's one little slice of onion, I could probably do it. Just eating the whole onion right now, oh, that would be that'd be the worst. I can't think of anything worse than that. Coming up on America Tonight in our next segment, by the way, he's not the worst. He's the best storyteller around when it comes to Hollywood. We're going to talk with our pal Stephen Shohet. We're going to talk to him about Quentin Tarantino and the buzz the Django movie is creating. And the past of Quentin Tarantino, how he seemingly, I think we're all over it now, came out of nowhere and has soared to some incredible, incredible heights. John Boehner is not having any problems with his nasal passages, but he's having problems with a few other things frustrating him on the Hill. And this is, of course, the budget. Now, this is not a new issue when we discuss the budget, that we don't have balanced budgets. So it's not very bold, I have to just say, Mr. Speaker, to jump up and down and scream and insist we need a 10-year balanced budget. He told House Republicans that the Republicans' upcoming budget will balance the federal books in a decade. And because of the Democrats' control of the White House and the Senate, the possibility of that really happening is like a snowball's chance. And you know what? It's probably pretty remote. Anyway, this is his take.
Most Americans believe you don't do your job, you shouldn't get paid. And that's the basis for no budget, no pay. Chairman Paul Ryan has worked hard with the budget committee to outline the kind of reforms that we would put in place to bring real fiscal responsibility here to Washington. And I think the American people understand that you can't continue to spend money that you don't have. It's time for us to come to a plan that will, in fact, balance the budget over the next 10 years. It's our commitment to the American people, and we hope the Senate will do their budget as they should have done over the last 4 years.
Yeah, here's the problem with that. Okay, balanced budget in 10 years. We need a budget now. Can we actually see what needs to happen now to balance books? Why does it always have to be in some faraway future down the line? Tomas in Michigan used to call all the time and say, do you ever notice that it's 10 years? And I have to say, I agree with him. We're talking about, okay, in a decade, this is going to happen in a decade. It's very easy, you know, it's very easy to get up and say, you know, my pledge to you is that we're going to have this happen in a decade. Because who knows if Boehner's even around for that. I mean, no offense, but it's the truth. He's not the only one that throws around the 10 years. The Democrats do it when they're talking about evening things out, and the Republicans do it. So it's interesting. They think they can't find common ground, but on timelines anyway, they seem to be right in sync. Let's just always throw out a number that's so far in the future that who cares? Even if they try to hold our feet to the fire, that's so far away. Things will change in an instant. It'll be easy to back off of that. I mean, what a crazy, crazy, ridiculous charade we keep playing over and over and over and over again. It's like I say, we're kicking the can down the road. We're kicking the can down the road constantly. So committing to a 10-year balanced budget, should commit to the now. What can you do now? Tell us what you can do for us now. And maybe I can't balance the budget, but this is what I'm proposing. This is the great compromise. Here's how it'll work. Blah, 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 blah. That's a better storyline. Tell me the truth instead of fairy tales. And like I said, this is across the board. There's your common ground. The common ground is the fact that it's very, very simple and very easy to have one of your people write a few clever lines, craft a few clever lines, and say that this thing is going to happen in 10 years. We've heard it before. You know, it's interesting. We get it. We get it. The politicians just don't. You look at the latest Gallup poll about optimism in America, and optimism has hit its lowest point since the Carter administration. Fewer than 4 in 10 Americans, that's 39%, rate the U.S. in a positive manner. The most negative feedback that we've had since 1979. So, you know, in this poll, in this Gallup poll, some of the other things that sprinkled out included that Americans are as negative about our prospects, this country's prospects, as they've been in more than three decades. And Americans are more upbeat in their predictions of where the U.S. will be in 5 years. Yeah, let's not talk about it now. Let's look in the future. We learned that from the politicians. But it is the lowest rating since 1979, since they started conducting the poll. I mean, who knows what it would have been before that. So as a whole, 55% of Americans say the state of the nation 5 years ago was positive, and now it's gone in the opposite direction. And why is that? Well, economics, of course, is one of the main things. If, you know, what's in my wallet? If you don't have enough in your wallet, you grumble, you whine. But I think it's the lack of perceived action. Even if some politicians in the House and in the Senate are doing things, are trying to do things, it just doesn't come off that way. Because everything, all the sounds, everything that comes out is the same drone that we're being fed over and over again. And I think that ratchets up the level of people not being positive, of having, you know, optimism snatched away like a thief in the night. All right, Stephen Shohet is in the wings, and we're going to be talking about Django, the name of the movie that I can't figure out. Maybe he can answer that question. We'll see. We're going to Hollywood next on America Tonight.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at stoveinacan.com. That's stoveinacan.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What's your name, boy?
His name is Django Creeman.
Why'd you dig him up?
Well, fortuitous turn of events brought Django and myself together.
I've heard tell about you. I heard you've been telling everybody that Mandingo's ain't no damn good. Ain't nothing nobody is selling is worth buying. I'm curious. What makes you such a Mandingo expert?
I'm curious what makes you so curious.
What did you say, boy?
Calm down, Butch. No offense given. None taken.
Monsieur Condi, I'd appreciate if you could direct your line of inquiry toward me.
One, you do not have anything to drink. Can I get you a tasty refreshment?
Yes, I'll have a beer.
Wunderbar. Roscoe, a beer for the man with the beard, and I will have a Polynesian pearl diver. Do not spare the rum.
All right, that is a little slice of Django Unchained. I was reading The New Yorker today and listened to this high praise from one of the writers. I have to face it, Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained is his most entertaining piece of movie making since Pulp Fiction. Some of it, particularly in the first half, is excruciatingly funny. And all of it has been brought off in a spirit of a burlesque merriment, violent absurdity, pushed to the level of flagrancy and beyond. That's the place where Tarantino is happiest. Out at the edge, playing with genre conventions, turning expectations inside out, ginning up the violence to exploitation movie levels. Sounds like The New Yorker, doesn't it? High praise, though, you have to say that. This is a movie that we talked about last week that is among a whole bunch of others up for Best Picture for this year's Academy Award. Stephen Shohat joins us each and every week. He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Stephen, do you agree with that little piece from The New Yorker about Quentin Tarantino and Django Unchained?
Well, I liked it, but you know, I also like Jackie Brown, which you know, didn't do as well, and I also like Kill Bill. So I mean, but you know, I mean, Django was very entertaining. I mean, obviously, one thing that's happening with this movie is Tarantino is talking. I mean, on the one hand, he says that we need to take the, you know, the history seriously, and on the other hand, he's saying that Django is the descendant of the character Shaft, played by Richard Roundtree, that he's like his great grandfather or something. So I mean, you know, it is operatic and you know, typical over-the-top violence, and I think people are used to that in Tarantino movies.
Yeah, you know what? In this movie, as you say, the people are used to certain things with Tarantino movies, but in this movie, he uses the N-word, they say, 110 times. And is it because of what the movie's about and all that other stuff that, hey, this is, you know, this is okay, it works for this film, and so there's no reason to question the whole racist, anti-racist, blah, blah, blah thing?
Well, you know, he would say that he's trying to get to the truth of the character. His critics like Spike Lee would say that it's greatly overdone. His defenders like Samuel Jackson would say that he's an artist and he's trying to tell a story, and what does it matter whether he's white or black? I mean, the language we used is representative of the time. So, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, I enjoy Tarantino movies, but, you know, I'd probably be uncomfortable using that language if I was writing something. So it's tough to say. But the one thing about Tarantino, he always stands up for himself. I mean, that's been his history the whole his whole life. I mean, early on, before he became a filmmaker, he got thrown in jail for not paying parking tickets, and it was L.A. County, and he called his mother to bail him out. His mother wouldn't do it. She felt he should be punished. She called the sheriff's department and said, please put him in a cell so he's not facing, you know, people who might want to hurt him. And the sheriff's department decided not to do that. And he was lying in bed, and somebody came up to him and grabbed his blanket. And he started yelling at the guy grabbing his blanket, and he was outnumbered. And three of the prisoners in the jail, who happened to be a member of the L.A. Crips, defended him and admired him for standing up for himself. And you know, even though it was a horrible experience going to jail, he felt he could write about that type of situation with more authenticity. And throughout his career, he stood up for himself. Harvey Weinstein wanted to cut out the scene where Michael Madsen is torturing another character in the movie Reservoir Dogs, and Tarantino absolutely refused. I mean, the one way Harvey Weinstein handled him was with Kill Bill, when there was so much material there, and Harvey figured, well, I don't want to have another fight with him, so why don't we split this into two movies, and that way he gets everything and we'll make more money out of it. But I mean, you know, his vision, his art, he stood up for himself, and he's kind of made a public warning to Spike Lee that if he ever runs into him, there might be an encounter. You know, maybe they're a little older, so maybe that's fizzled a little bit.
Yeah, let's hope so. In the his success is extraordinary, though. You mentioned Kill Bill and splitting the movies, and that's a great story about that. And Pulp Fiction really setting him apart. I mean, this is an unlikely story in a sense, isn't it? Tell the listeners how he started out.
Yeah, well, he was working at the store Video Archives in Manhattan Beach, which is now gone, and he was just an expert at people would come in and ask about films, and he's like an encyclopedia, and a lot of the young guys there talked about doing something. He went ahead, made a film called My Best Friend's Birthday, a short film. Took 3 years to make. Wasn't really anything he could show to anybody. Some of it was destroyed. But it gave him confidence that he had learned from that. And then, of course, he wrote True Romance, which was optioned. But then what really got him going was Reservoir Dogs. And he wrote that script. And his friend Lawrence Bender, who he met at a party, said, "This is the greatest thing I've ever read. Give me a couple months, and I'll see if I can get it made." And Quentin Tarantino said, "I'll give you 2 months, and if you don't find somebody who's going to make it, I'm going to make it myself in the backyard with an 8mm camera." And that was the thing. He was just determined to get the movies done his way, and not backing down at all. And eventually it was picked up, and then Harvey Keitel wanted to get involved with it, which increased the budget. And Tarantino did things for Reservoir Dogs. Like, for example, he was a big admirer of the actor Lawrence Tierney, who he'd seen in a lot of film noir movies that were made back in the 40s, got to work with him. Lawrence Tierney was a terror. I mean, Lawrence Tierney used to go to bars, and he'd be bored, and he'd call the police and say, "There's a fight in the bar," and the police would show up, and he'd fight the policeman. I mean, he just did stuff like that for a good time. He used to be driven, across the California border because the California police wanted to get rid of him. He was always in bar fights. And there was a moment on the set where he threatened Tarantino. And again, Tarantino stood up to him. And I think that got the other actors on board with what Tarantino was trying to do. And the one thing about him, and of course, Reservoir Dogs, a big success after the Weinsteins bought it, and then an even bigger success with Pulp Fiction, I think 2 years later. But the one thing that Tarantino's always done is work very, very well with actors. Having a collaborative a way of working with them, listen to their suggestions, and really in the corner of some actors like Samuel L. Jackson, who he wrote the role in Pulp Fiction for, like Uma Thurman, who he created the bride for in Kill Bill. And I think that makes actors not only excited to work with them, but maybe bring down their fee a little bit, which helps those movies be more profitable.
Yeah, no kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left. His best movie, pound for pound, for you.
Oh, boy, that's a really tough one. I really like Jackie Brown because I think the relationship between Pam Grier and Robert Forster is really kind of touching in that movie, and kind of unexpected how much they care for each other. So I kind of like that one, but that's probably not the favorite for a lot of people. But the only thing about his movies sometimes is they're a little long for me. I could understand the Weinstein's point of view about wanting to cut things let's get going and let's move along, because he is willing to have characters have conversations that have nothing to do with the plot of the movie. For example, in Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi is talking about not tipping, which is a Tarantino thing, which he had going for years. And his friends didn't like watching that scene because they had heard Tarantino say it so many times, and it really doesn't have much to do with the movie. But it's an interesting conversation. But if you add all these conversations, sometimes the films get a little long, but I'll go with Jackie Brown, even though it's probably not the favorite of most people.
Yeah, I like Jackie Brown. It'd be a toss-up, Jackie Brown or Pulp Fiction, probably, for me. Stephen Shohat, you can catch him at HollywoodStories.com. Pick up his book by the same name. We'll talk to you again next week. Stephen, thanks so much.
You got it, kid. I hope all is well.
Thank you.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power Cognitive Supplement from MindRegard.com. Mind Regard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
For you, that's a big one. You hear the voice of Sheryl Crow there. Sheryl Crow has something in common with Lance Armstrong. She's eating crow because she began dating him in 2003. They were engaged in 2005 and split up in 2006. But you don't say. She certainly knew that he was using performance-enhancing drugs. you know, he has this big interview with Oprah last week, which gets kind of buried because of the Manti Te'o situation, the linebacker from Notre Dame with his twisted fake girlfriend nonsense story and making the world feel awful that she had leukemia and then was supposedly killed in a car accident, and all of those fantasies are being sorted out. In a sense, that gave Lance Armstrong's story a little bit of a backseat. But what's interesting is he goes on her show and he talks about the drugs and the whole bullying the people and all that other kind of stuff. But there's no mention anywhere about the ex-fiancé, Sheryl Crow, who he was dating during two of the 7 Tour de France wins. And what's interesting is she was named twice in affidavits submitted to the United States Anti-Doping Association. Not a surprise. First by Armstrong's former teammate, Frankie Andreu, who, with his wife Betsy, haven't said much about the doping stuff lately because now it's all filtering out. But Frankie's affidavit claimed that he and his wife were called to Armstrong's hotel room and convinced to retract her statements that Armstrong told doctors treating him for cancer that he had doped. And in it, it says his girlfriend at the time, Sheryl Crow, was in the room, and I felt uncomfortable talking about it in front of her, so I didn't say much. And then Betsy Andreu, also in her affidavit, said Lance's then-girlfriend Sheryl Crow was in the room and Frankie didn't want to discuss the matter in front of them. And Crow talked to Katie Couric about this and said she felt bad after he was stripped of his titles, that she felt bad for him, felt bad for the family, and kind of felt like the rest of the world, that he's somebody that they watched and looked up to and admired. And, you know, here's the thing, that's what people want to know. What, you know, there's a big difference between reality and fiction. And she was in the middle of that whole deal with Lance Armstrong, which, who cares in a sense? It's not her to police him, and who knows what she knew in a sense, how much she really knew about the whole performance-enhancing stuff and what she, you know, didn't know. But I find it hard to believe that all these people around him had, it seems odd, they have no clue. It's like, I read a quote from Matthew McConaughey, who used to hang around with the movie star, because he was a big Texas guy and a UT fan, too, and they were tight friends. And, he, you know, what Lance Armstrong is saying, that longtime friends like Matthew McConaughey were upset with him and blah, 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 and they felt sad for him and took it personally and all that other kind of stuff, but they're in his corner now, and they're backing him up. You know, here's the thing. Everybody, it's like everybody was afraid to say anything, including the people around him, about what was really going on. And that's, I think, a lot of the nonsense that comes out of this. As I said, it's just one of those, you know, really? Duh. One of those, of course they knew. Of course they had an idea of what was happening. How could they not? I don't think these people are completely dense, or I don't know, maybe there's kind of there's a smoke screen that goes up around you when you're in that kind of rarefied, iconic air. But these are people that were uber famous too, Sheryl Crow and Matthew McConaughey. So, you know, maybe they just don't want to say that they suspected that all along. I'm just assuming that would be the best excuse to probably give them, that they wanted to believe what everybody else believed and they didn't want to ask any questions. But, you know, especially Crow, how could she not know when she was traveling with him and had to have seen some of this? How could she not have seen some of this because of the things that they were doing in those hotel rooms? Again, absolutely makes no sense. Since I brought up Manti Te'o, it's worth mentioning this, because everybody's buzzing around about it. I already mentioned that he's the linebacker from Notre Dame, if you don't know who he is, who made up this fantastical story about a girlfriend who died, know how sad, and everybody played along and felt terrible for him because of this girl's alleged girlfriend's death from leukemia. And that became part of his inspiring story that everybody followed, but it was a hoax. So the photos that show the fictional girlfriend now have surfaced all over the place. And, of course, beautiful looking and young, and this isn't the real story. Instead, the girlfriend is, that's not her name at all. Her name is O'Mara, and Diana O'Mara. And she said she didn't even know who he was. So it makes it even more bizarre and twisted, as she said herself, I never met Manti Te'o in my entire life. I've never spoken with him. I've never exchanged words, tweets, anything with him. So she's been pulled into this crazy vortex of a story that broke when the Deadspin website revealed last week that Lene Kukui, the alleged girlfriend of him, and this whole thing, her picture appeared. So the photos are not her, and that's just one other step. That's one other step in the crazy hoax of a Notre Dame football player with too much time on his hands. And I don't see how he can blame anybody around him. I truly believe this is the same thing. He had to be complicit in this. He had to have been. Really, we're supposed to buy the thing that he's peddling, this thing with a girlfriend and talking about stories with her and how she's sick and relating all of that. Of course not. I mean, of course he is, because he couldn't have had those conversations with her. And it's with the fake picture and everything else. So that's how you know the suspension of disbelief, obviously, it is now out there. We cracked the case, and so has everybody else. So he has to give up that ghost without a doubt. All right, many of you followed along. This is our last one for this hour on the whole flu epidemic that we've been talking about, that people are going to their local drugstores trying to get the flu shot, and they're out of the flu shot. And after all, the flu shot is only 60-something percent effective. So if you get the flu shot, it's not a definite wall, a guarantee that you're not going to come down with the flu. But unlike the common cold, which you can obviously hear that I have, it's a little bit different in getting the flu and battling that and the strain of flu versus trying to shake off a winter cold or something that you've picked up. And it has people weighing the options. You know, hey, am I really going to do this? Am I going to get this shot that's not that effective in the first place? Or do I just take my chances and roll the dice in a different direction? Overwhelmingly, most of you that emailed the show said you wouldn't get anywhere near a flu shot. How about that?
Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.